Welcome to the Law of Attraction in Action podcast. My name is Michelle Joy, and thank you so much for joining me. I'm here to inspire you to live amazing lives through the Law of Attraction and help you see how powerful you really are. In this podcast, you'll hear interviews, and I will give you inspirational talks on my Monday session. So thank you so much for joining me, and happy manifesting! Welcome to Law of Attraction in Action. Thank you so much for joining me on my podcast. My name is Michelle Joy, and I am your host. And today I'm bringing to you people from all over the world and all walks of life who are here to share their journey around the Law of Attraction so you can have an amazing life too. So today's guest, her name is Crystal Eberts, and she is a deliberate conscious creation way shower. Her varied corporate career includes working with and for Fortune 100 international corporations and small businesses alike. She worked behind and in front of TV cameras for over 10 years, including as a frequently featured guest on TV and radio, and more recently as a co-executive producer for Fuse TV and Reality Real Media's Dancing on Air and its companion reality show, Saturday Morning Fever. She is an honors graduate of the Wharton School. And I have no idea what that is, Crystal, but your life sounds so amazing to me. And I'm so excited to have you on my podcast. So welcome.
Thank you. Welcome. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. So Crystal, how did you come into the Law of Attraction and how has it changed your life?
Well, I took a circuitous route. It's been many years in coming. And it's really kind of, I guess, like you, when I was a teenager, believe it or not, I was married at 17, divorced by 23. And my life was really kind of a mess. I'm an adult child of an alcoholic. I'm a sexual abuse, incest kind of survivor. So I had a lot of issues in my life, and I always was searching for answers. And so it started maybe as early as 17 or 18 years old when I was married, and my marriage was kind of like was falling apart, and I had developed all kinds of health problems. And I started to read a lot of books about meditation, visualization. I was always interested in religion and philosophy and the like. And I've tried a lot of different things. I was an acrophonologist, which was I studied and analyzed names. I was a numerologist for a while. I taught that. I was a public inspirational speaker. I taught human relations. I studied and practiced feng shui. I did astrology. I did tarot. I studied Wicca. I was a white witch for a while. I also studied Rosicrucianism. I've done a lot of things, and somewhere around the time The Secret came out by Rhonda Burns, somebody had given me that DVD. And by that time, they were calling it the Law of Attraction, but it's only just a label. The Law of Attraction goes by many, many, many different names. It's all the same stuff. It's just labeled and packaged and presented a little differently. So I listened to that DVD at the time. And a lot of stuff that I had learned previous from even different channels. Lazarus was somebody I studied with. Believe it or not, I was a born-again Christian for a while. I studied with Joyce Myers and Kenneth Copeland, a lot of those so-called faith ministers. I learned a lot through that. And it kind of all started to come together and started to come to, you know, to click a little bit in my life. And I started to apply some of the stuff I didn't always apply consistently in the earlier part of my life. And one thing kind of just started to click. And how has it changed my life? Well, right now, I have everything that I want, everything that I need. I feel I'm a total, complete, entire, whole person. I know how to deliberately and consciously create anything that I want when I want it. And whatever I want, I just end up going out and get. I don't have to work, which is total freedom. And that's been my goal my entire life, is to be totally free, to do what I want, when I want, how I want, in the way that I want, with or without whom I want. And I don't have to answer to anybody. And so right now I have perfect health. I have money in the bank. I'm comfortable. I'm at peace. And I like my life.
You know what I love about your journey? You have literally gone against the grain. and yes. what normal society says you should do this, this, and this. And you are a seeker. I really, what you say resonates with me. I love that you have always, sounds like you've always been a seeker. And, yes. but you've done it for you and listened to your heart, I'm assuming, because this is not something you learned mainstream. You know, this is especially probably back then when you first started.
You're right.
You're in your own playground.
I was a little weird. I was, you know, my cousin and I, when we were younger than our teenagers, we used to dabble in, she was dabbling in some things as well. And my uncle used to teach me, you call it scripting now, but he used to do automatic writing. So somewhere in my family roots, there's a lot of this so-called mysticism and weirdness. And then being raised a Roman Catholic, there's a lot of ritual to the mass and all that. And there's a lot of, they don't couch it as being the spiritual stuff, but they do talk about spirits and ghosts and things like that. And I've always had a belief in God, although my God today is not the God of my childhood. I have a totally different idea of what God and spirituality and all that is today as compared to when I was younger.
What is God to you then?
Well, I think God is the only label I can pick, Michelle, is consciousness. Now, what is consciousness? Mm-hmm. Consciousness to me is just intelligent energy. Now, scientifically, energy is not a thing. It's actually a characteristic of materiality, but we, in a metaphysical sense, use it to mean intelligence, knowing, awareness, observation, personality. It goes by a host of all kinds of different names. And God is not somebody that's sort of thrown with a fly swatter, waiting to whack you every time you do something wrong. I've really come to accept, and it was a lot of hard work, believe it or not, to accept that I and all of us are little holographic pieces of consciousness. Yeah. Really hard when you're brought up in a traditional religion, whether it's Judaism or Buddhism or whatever. They really kind of don't allow you to accept that truth, and so you kind of have to fight against a little bit everything you were quote taught when you were growing up about God.
You know, and I think that helped me with my spiritual awakening. Before we got on the call, I shared with Crystal my spiritual awakening, and why I believe I was so open to it was because I did not grow up with religion. My parents were raised Catholic. They were into Catholicism. I was baptized, but then my parents divorced when I was 18 months old, and then, you know, church went out the door. And then my dad started going to the Mile High Church Religious Science, which is metaphysics. Really raised with anything. So it kept me open. And I think that's what's helped me with my awakening, especially, is I had nothing to question on the
road. You had no resistance to it.
Right. But see, also, I love this conversation, Crystal, because I do believe spirituality. I feel very strongly that that's the path that I love teaching. That is where all the power and the manifestations are, is within that consciousness versus just this blanket phrase of law of attraction. Right. So I want to dig a little deeper into that, if you don't mind. And if you can have my listeners kind of share your views on manifestations and why, like, are you using spirituality, or who do you ask for help, or how does that work for you?
Well, I like to say that I don't pray, not in the way that we were all taught to pray, where you said, oh, dear God, can I have this? Can I have that? Oh, dear God, what's happening? What are your plans for me? If it be thy will. I don't really pray at all. I more or less have a conversation with myself. Mm-hmm. And I talk a lot to myself. I live by myself with my three Persian cats. And so I have a lot of time. Uh-huh. And I usually end up having a lot of conversations with myself in my head. And I do a lot of searching because I have my own group, and I do a lot of writing, and I do a lot of scripting and the like. And a lot of my questions and my seeking now are going on pieces of paper, and I'm starting to analyze and learn through what I'm writing and what I'm describing. And as I'm teaching other people, I'm actually teaching myself. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually getting answers for myself.
Mm. Can you talk more about scripting? Because that's come up in the past, and people said, hey, can you do a podcast on scripting, Michelle? I'm like, you know, I know I'm going to manifest someone who can teach that. And you actually showed up on the Facebook group. You talked about scripting. I'm like, oh, yes. Goody. I want to learn more about this.
I use scripting for a couple of things, but my biggest my biggest thing was I manifested $500,000 cash unsolicited from an unexpected source, which went to buy my new house and furnish my new house. And I did it by scripting. And what had happened was, making a very long story short, in 1998, I started to work for a man named Michael Nice, and his claim to fame is he did 3,500 TV dance shows. He did more than Dick Clark did, and he did it in 12 years. But that was back in the 80s. And I was doing public speaking and teaching human relations and all that at the time when I met him. And I ended up being a guest on his TV show. One thing led to another. I started to work for him in the TV business, which actually was one of my desires that manifested for me. I had my own TV show before that, but when he came along, it kind of like just expanded everything. He introduced me to a lady named Betty, and Betty was, she was old enough to be my grandmother, and she was quite the character. And we became good friends. We had a lot of interests. Well, she turned out to be a multimillionaire person, and she would always say to me, when I get older, she was like in her 70s at the time, but when I get older, I'm going to pay you big bucks to take care of me. And I thought, oh, yeah, right, all right. But one thing led to another, and I did start to work for her. She had frontal temporal dementia at the time, and it wasn't as bad, but obviously when she passed on, it was what really kind of like helped her to pass over. So I took care of her for about 7 years. And at one point, after watching The Secret, they were talking about scripting and affirmations. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to try that technique. So I started what I call my affirmation books. And I'd have tons and tons of notebooks in my old house in New Jersey. And when I wasn't working for her and I'd be home feeding my cats or whatever, I would be scripting things in my affirmation books. Sometimes I would script about a car or house or money or whatever. I try to script to change my beliefs. And I had scripted my perfect dream home. And the technique I learned from the movie The Secret was you do everything in the present moment. You write it as if it's happening now. So I wrote the whole script, which I think I posted online of the one that I had used. And I dated it the July 19, 2014, that's what it was. So I put in there and I had done pages and pages and pages. And scripting is only just a story about what you want and writing it in the present tense. And you can write pages and pages and pages, but then if you can get pages and pages and pages, maybe down to one page or two page, it becomes so concentrated that it's got so much energy in it. And that's the secret. It's not the amount of time. It's not the amount of words. It's not even the kind of words. It is your focus. It's your attention. It's your interest. It's your energy. Whatever you want to call it, that's what does the work. Call it faith, call it belief. So I had written one page and I put the book aside and went about my business. I never picked it up again. I never looked at it. And about a year later, Betty ended up going to the hospital. She went in on a Wednesday. She came out on a Saturday. And Sunday morning, she woke up and she said, Christelle, get me my checkbook. I'm giving away all my money. And I'm starting to freak out. I said, no, you can't give all your money. You were just in the hospital. You can't. She said, I want my checkbook. I'm going to give you money and I'm going to give this person money and that. I'm going to give it all away. I said, Betty, you can't. We had a big argument about I wouldn't give her her checkbook because I was her power of attorney and I was her executor on the will. And boy, that looks really bad when she starts writing me out $1 million checks. Uh-huh. So I called her attorney, Bernice, and I told Bernice what was going on. And Bernice says, well, you know, her giving away her money is a good financial planning, good estate planning, but I have to make sure that she's legally capable, cognizant, whatever you want to call it, to give away whatever money she wants to give away. And she has to save enough for her in case, you know, she lasts another couple of years. But this time she was like maybe 88 or 89. Mm-hmm. So Bernice came over to Betty's house. She met her on a Monday and a Tuesday. And Tuesday afternoon, Betty comes out to the living room and she's a little 4 foot blonde Jewish lady. She's a cross between Dame Edna and Mame and Marilyn Monroe. She's a real character. Uh-huh. And she comes up to me waddling and she says, guess what? Yes, Miss Betty, I'm buying you a house. And I said, right. Yeah, right. You're buying me a house. She goes, I'm going to buy you a house. I'm giving you $500,000 with the caveat that you have to get a house that's closer to me. Because I was driving a half an hour one way to feed my cats, you know, almost every day. She said, and I want you to be safe. So that was, I went home that night. And as I was feeding my cats, of course, my affirmation books fell all over the floor. And the one that I picked up to the page that I opened it up to was the one I had written almost a year to the day previously that was my dream house. And I am now living in that dream house. And I paid cash for this house.
Oh, wow.
And that it works.
I love that.
It really
works. I love that. Yes, I'm so glad you shared that story. This is the stories that I love because this stuff does happen. It really, really does happen. These aren't people just like, you know, like in the movie, you think, well, that could happen to them, but not to me. You know, and you're like no different from anybody else. Am I correct? Like,
no. It wasn't like no, you. I'm not. And this is not, and I've done things like this back in the 80s. I would do things like this, not necessarily, let's say, scripting, but I have used the technique of tithing, and I have manifested like a job for $75,000 a year, which doubled my current salary. I've done, and part of it is, Michelle, and what your viewers and listeners have to understand is, it's what you're thinking. It's what you keep thinking. And why thoughts do become things is back to what we were saying earlier. Ye are God. You're a piece of God.
Yep.
And quantum physics has proven since as early as the 1800s through the double slit experiment. And you can look it up anywhere online. They've done many of these double slit experiments since the 1800s that subatomic particles literally obey your thoughts.
Yep.
And there is, I can go into the whole scientific explanation of why that is. And why would subatomic particles, quote, obey, end quote, your thoughts? Because you are God, because you created the system to work that way.
Yep. Doesn't that feel like powerful? Like just thinking that and knowing that, I feel that completely. Like we are so powerful being a part of that. And also when we feel like we're separate from that is why we're not manifesting things, right?
Well, yes and no. You're never separated from yourself. Now you can pretend to be separated from yourself. You can deny that you have a connection to yourself, but that self is never, ever going to, that'll never be disconnected from you. And the reason why we don't manifest the things that we want to manifest is because of the thoughts we keep thinking. And a lot of times we feel one of our deepest problems and issues is that we aren't powerful because we confuse our physical self with the real who we are already. We think that we are our body and our brain, and we're so much more than that. We are a consciousness that operates a body and brain. And I just ran across a very good saying that I just posted to my group, which was, God will continue to manifest your reality according to its agenda until and unless you take control and exercise your power and authority to deliberately, consciously create your reality according to your agenda. And so often we just let everything slide because we don't think that we are who we are. We think we're just bodies. We're meat suits.
Yep.
And we're so much more than that. And when you get a hold of that, that's a leap forward and a half. But with that comes fear and responsibility. I was very afraid of being powerful because I don't know what it's like for the rest of the women in the world. But as a woman, we're not brought up in this day and age. Maybe our daughters and our granddaughters are. But in my generation, my mother and my grandmother, women were second-class citizens. It didn't matter if you were Black or white or Hispanic. Women are less than. And we're not powerful enough to get the things that we want unless we have ding, 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 a man to do that, right? Mm-hmm. And when you are, you have low self-esteem, I should say, and low self-esteem comes from a lot of different things, you are afraid of being powerful because that means you have to take responsibility, not blame, but responsibility. And people don't want to be responsible. They'd rather have somebody else do it for them, do it to them. They don't want to be responsible. But until you become responsible, responsible defined as the ability to respond, you are never going to be powerful, because you're going to say, I can't do it because I'm not responsible. I don't own this. I didn't own what happened to me in my life. They did it to me. He did it to me. The world did it to me. The government. You've got to take ownership. That's part of being powerful. And I was too afraid to be powerful because something was wrong with me. And if something's wrong with me and I take responsibility, I might hurt other people. So I had to heal a lot of that so that I can then feel comfortable enough to be powerful enough to create my life the way I want to. Because when you start to create your life, you do impact other people in your life. And sometimes people, they don't get hurt on purpose. That's a whole nother discussion about people in your life. But it's scary. The thought of being powerful scares people. You've got to get over it.
And, you know, it's the what I love about law of attraction, what I keep preaching to everybody, is law of attraction is about taking responsibility for your life. And I love that what you said, that you really hit on something, is people are so afraid of taking responsibility for their life because they don't feel like they're worthy enough to be powerful. And that was very, very true. And I think that's why I also love law of attraction, because I take it as actually a beautiful way to develop ourselves and to heal our past and to become the greatest versions of who we were meant to be, because law of attraction is always reflecting back to us, mirroring back to us who we are, if we're willing to listen and take responsibility. Right. And I think people are too afraid, but I love that you said that people are not feeling that they're not worthy enough to be powerful. Oh, That's really strong.
The newest trend, if you look around, there's the microcosm that the world is talking to you on a microcosm and a macrocosm world. And you look around today, especially in the United States, victimhood is real big.
Yeah.
We are brought up to believe, you can accept and reject anything, but I would say in our society, maybe it's true around the world, the more of a victim you are, the bigger the reward. The more of a victim when you go to court, the bigger the reward. The more victim you are, the more people hurt you, the more attention you get. And so we are living a life of victimhood. You cannot be powerful, truly powerful. There's power in victimhood. Don't get me wrong. It's passive power, because when you're a victim, you get people to do all kinds of stuff for you up to a point. And so there's power in being victims, but that's not the power I'm talking about. But until people drop the victimhood, you can never be truly powerful. You cannot be a conscious, deliberate creator. You'll be a creator. You'll create situations that create for you victimhood. But you know what? To be a victim, you got to suffer something. That's the wrong kind of power. I'd rather be powerful and not suffer. That's the way I like to live my life.
Well, because there's no happiness and joy in that power.
Victimhood.
And there's no happiness and joy. And if you really think about it, we want happiness and joy more than anything, and love. And what you're saying is true. People are staying in their victimhood, a self-righteousness, like, no, I need to be paid back. And you're right. Like, our court systems or our law systems is set up for that. But are those people happy? How many attorneys do you hear that are happy? You know,
not too many. And I know a lot of them.
I know, right?
And a lot. And you know, there was a time in my life that I watched as a young girl when I was still married, and I was married 17 to 23, that anytime I needed money, it was very interesting. I'd always have a car accident. And I started to see this pattern. And now, why did I have a car accident whenever I needed money? Because at that point in time, the car insurance companies would pay you X amount of money, and then I'd take it to a shop where they would do it for less, and I'd pocket the balance. And that's how I got my money. And then I realized, wait a minute, I'm creating this. I want to be able to create the money without the accident. And now that is power. Because it's one thing to say, gee, I know if I'm in a car accident or I fall down the stairs or I slip on the ice, I can sue somebody real big and get a whole lot of money and then I'll be rich. Yeah, but then you're going to be suffering in physical pain. I'd rather have the money without the pain. And with law of attraction, if you know what you're doing and you know that what the secret is, and the secret is, it's the thoughts you keep thinking. It's the thoughts you keep observing. It's the thoughts you keep giving your attention to, whether you want it or you don't want it. Mm-hmm. It's that that's creating your reality. Now you can create reality without all the pain.
Yeah.
And have everything that you want.
Absolutely. And we have full control over that. We have the ability, absolutely, like you said, with scripting or with affirmations or like you said, make it be present, realize that you are that God energy, that you are that powerful, that you can create worlds within yourself. You just knowing that to me was a game changer to know, wow, I have that ability. And I believed it so much that my life has been extraordinary. It's really enjoying happiness. That's yes, the thing. Yeah.
Well, let's take it to another level for the people out there who have been raised like me, Christian, Catholic. It doesn't matter if you're a Baptist or you're a Christian Science or whatever. I don't believe that Jesus died for our sins. I don't believe that, but I do believe Jesus was a great teacher. And I do believe that a lot of what he taught, it would have been called, if it was named such, the law of attraction. But mm-hmm. he said without exception, he never, ever, ever once took credit for a healing, for a miracle, for raising the dead. Everybody attributed to him, but his own commentary was, thy faith. Mm-hmm. Thy faith did the work. Thy faith. What is faith? The thoughts you keep thinking consistently. Mm-hmm. And that's what does the work. So the reason I'm making mention of that is, if at this point in time, any of your listeners are not ready and willing to accept that they are part of God, that they are God, that whatever God can do, they can do, whatever God can be, do, or have, they can be, do, or have. If they can't accept that, then they should go to the next level, which is, it is your faith. It is your belief. It's the thoughts you keep thinking that does the work.
Yeah.
And maybe if you can accept that, then you can slowly drift to that level, to the point where someday you're going to accept fully who you really are already.
Mm. Yes. Oh my gosh, I love this. Christelle, this is amazing to have you share this and share your wealth of information. And I know you have so much to offer my people. How on earth can they get in touch with you? I want them to reach out to you.
Really? Yes, okay, all right then. I have a group on Facebook called Get Christelized. If you just type in my name on Facebook, you'll get to that group. And I've been putting a lot of course materials there. Everything is no charge. I have daily affirmations, daily reminders, deliberate conscious creation techniques. I have a wealth of, you know, videos and source material for people, because it's not just one source. There's many sources that'll take you to the same place, because it's all the same stuff, just labeled differently. But they can get me on Facebook.
Awesome. Well, Christelle, thank you so much for coming on my show.
Thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh, I love this so much. Any conversation around this depth of law of attraction, I love. And I feel so honored that you have given your graces to me and to my audience, because I know you've been in this world a lot longer than me, and you have a lot to share with the world. So I'm glad that you're still sharing with the world. And what an amazing story with scripting. I'm going to start. I do a lot. I actually do that, but I don't use the word scripting. I think it gets
it's
more
called by many things.
Right. Yes. Right. But I actually been doing that for a while as well. And
posted the story of how I got my TV show on Dancing on Air and Saturday Morning Fever. All those testimonials of how I use the different techniques. I use visualization to heal my body so that I could avoid going under the knife for surgery. It took me 3 weeks to heal my body. All that stuff is on my Facebook group.
Oh my gosh, awesome. And again, people are really loving those stories as much as I am. So Crystal, thank you for sharing. And
thank you, Michelle.
Yes, and everyone, please reach out to her, get on her Facebook group. And thank you again. And thank you everyone for listening. I hope you enjoyed this as much as I did. If you have a story you want to share on my podcast, I would love to hear from you. Just go to my website at michelle-joy.com. That's michelle-joy.com. And I hope you all have a wonderful, miraculous day and happy manifesting.
Thank you.
Thank you again for listening and joining me on my podcast. If you want to learn more about me, please go to my website at michelle-joy.com. That's michelle-joy.com. And on there, I have lots of goodies, including guided meditations and inspirational posts and blogs. And of course, I'm here to help you as your coach. So thank you for listening and have a wonderful day.